Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
It's time now for the Friday gathering, and I'm joined in the studio by Colm Brophy, Fine Gael TD for Dublin South West and Minister of State with responsibility for overseas development aid and diaspora. Michelle Murphy is here, research and policy analyst with Social Justice Ireland. Aoife Moore, political correspondent with the Irish Examiner, is here. And Piers Doherty, finance spokesperson for Sinn Féin and TD for Donegal South West, joins us from Raidió na Gaeltachta na Dairí Beaga. You're all very welcome. Thank you for being here. We were just talking before the break about the Minister for Finance supporting the Taoiseach, Colm Brophy, and his comments about pricing of fuel. The government has taken this unprecedented step now of reducing the excise duty on fuel in March. You know, a budget move taken in March. It's really had a minimal impact, and we're seeing now that there are calls for a mini budget. Would you support those calls? Do you think that the price rises are so severe now that something more radical needs to be done?
Well, I think the government has taken a range of actions, actually, including the reduction in duty. And I think we'll have to see that play out. I was noticing fuel price movements downwards, actually, just in the last hour from some of the forecourts, which is welcome to see. Obviously, so much of this is internationally linked in terms of fuel price in particular. But I think the range of, you know, programme that the government has put in place is going to obviously help. There's no question, though, there's a huge impact on every family in the country in what we've seen. And we have to remember that the reason we've seen these price increases in the last few weeks, and particularly on fuel, is, and we have to have this in our mind all the time, because of this horrible, unbelievable war that's taking place in Ukraine and the way in which it has affected everything.
But we see Austin Hughes, the economist, this morning, quoted in the Irish Independent, saying that we now need increases in social welfare. We need to link income tax credits to inflation. That is how serious this is.
Well, obviously people are going to have their own views, and they're going to put forward. Government has put out its budget. I don't think we're in a situation where we need to be changing from that. I think we need to be cognizant of the fact of what's happening around inflationary issues. Mm. We've put in place a series of measures, not just the decrease in things. There's a various.
So you think it's grand now? It's sorted?
No. You will always be responding to a situation like this on a daily basis, because it's changing on a daily basis. But what we have done is we have put a very comprehensive package in place so far between what we did on the excise duty. But can I just make the point, it's also linked to what we did on the €200 in relation to fuel bills. It's what we've done on the working family payment. It's what we did on the drugs payment scheme. It's what we've done on the school transport. Right. So there's a full range of issues. I think over 527 million in terms of a government package put in place to help families.
Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin TD for Donegal. €527 million is the package, says Colm Brophy. Is it enough?
Look, it's not enough, and we are in unprecedented times, and Colm's right in saying that, look, what we're facing in terms of petrol and diesel and home heating oil, and indeed the price of coal now increasing from the start of the week, is because of the issues in terms of the illegal invasion of Ukraine by Russia. But That being said, we have a responsibility to protect people as much as we can. We can't protect everything, but we have to go as far as we can. And that didn't happen this week. We should have went further in terms of reducing the cost in petrol and diesel. Excise completely should have been taken off home heating oil, which has increased by €1,000 since the start of the year.
There's no excise, Piers, on home heating oil. You know that.
You know, listen.
You know that, Piers. You've been fact-checked on that. You just know that. Would you stop saying things that aren't true?
Would you please?
I mean, just for once, Piers,
without interruption,
try and say something
that's
the truth, because you can't be allowed to say something that's untrue, Piers.
You
know, there's no excise. You made an idiot of yourself on this, so just don't try and repeat it. When you're in the hole, stop digging, Piers.
Okay, just let him respond to that.
And maybe you could, maybe RTE would ask the revenue commissioners, as has already been done, where they've released a statement to the media saying excise in the form of mineral oil tax applies to kerosene, which is commonly known as home heating oil. And Colm doesn't want to hear the truth. Colm doesn't want to hear
stop
the truth.
Lying,
and they continue to say that mineral oil tax rate.
Is there a tax column on this or not?
The independent newspaper did a fact check on this. They went and they looked at it, and absolutely, Pierce is doing. Which really is so sad.
Excise duty by another name. I mean, don't accuse somebody of lying if there is a tax on this product.
There's no excise duty. People accept there is no excise duty. And I don't know why Pierce continues to say this. He gets no credibility out of saying it. He's supposed to be a finance spokesperson, someone who'd want to be a minister for finance, someone who doesn't understand whether there's finance duty or not. But Piers, at least if you want to finish your point, finish it honestly.
Well, Piers, go ahead. You haven't done this so far.
Please, without interruption, excise duty on oil, on home heating oil and in petrol and in diesel is in the form of a mineral oil tax. There is a two components to that, a carbon component and a non-carbon component. The carbon component on home heating oil is at a rate of 84.84 cents per 1,000 litres. That is what needed to be reduced. That is what the motion before the Dáil, the amendment before the Dáil said. What government want to do is they want to increase it further, despite the fact that it is already increased by €1,000. Now, Fine Gael are playing a rear guard action because they know their own constituents, the same people who vote for them, are furious that the government are actually going to increase the tax on home heating oil instead of actually giving some type of comfort and some reduction to people.
Is that the carbon tax you're talking about, the increase that's coming in May?
The carbon component, yes, is what is the mineral oil tax, which is excise duty.
Now, Piers, you see, you're trying to do the old three-card trick again. You're in favour of scrapping the carbon tax?
Michelle Murphy, Social Justice Ireland, would like to come in here. Go ahead.
I just feel like, Claire, it's deja vu from the last time I was in here and we were talking about the Taoiseach and the leader of Sinn Féin having an argument in the Dáil. I mean, this discussion here is not actually doing anything for those people who are really struggling. The cost of living crisis is an income adequacy crisis because it's people on low incomes, so that's on low paid jobs or social welfare. They have no financial room to manoeuvre. They've cut back on everything they can cut back. We saw the CSO figures yesterday. The cost of bread has gone up, baby food, milk, bananas, spaghetti, all the staples, energy, so gas, electricity, home heating oil, rent, mortgages, that has all gone up. We've had €375 million on a universal energy credit. That should have been targeted. Blanket solutions aren't going to affect the poorest, the most vulnerable, those in low pay, those who are most
impacted. So
you're saying
cutting excise duty on fuels is not going to help the people you're talking about and to?
I mean, it'll make a small impact on rural dwellers and people who have to get in their cars every day. But the reality is fuel prices are going to go up, crisis or no crisis in the Ukraine, because if you look at our carbon budgets and our climate targets, we're going to be increasing the carbon tax over time and we support that. But that means that ultimately you're going to see fuel inflation into the medium
Piers Doherty
to the long
is saying
term.
That increase shouldn't happen in May.
But if we don't increase the carbon tax, we're not going to meet our climate targets. We have, you know, this is the third announcement now since the budget. And in February, the Minister for Finance said he wasn't going to look at budgetary measures. But yet, you know, the tax change on excise, that is a budgetary measure. So we need to look at the amount of money, it's what, over €700 million. Has that been targeted? Has it been targeted on those most in need? I mean, you could have gotten a €5 increase in core social welfare rates for the rest of the year for less than €375 million. You would target low paid workers by making tax
credits
refundable.
Which is what you're saying the excise duty cost, I think it was around €320 million. You're saying that would give you an extra fiver on social welfare rates.
Or the universal energy credit, for example, because that's a universal credit, €200. But is the benefit really going to go to those in energy poverty, those in arrears, those who are on the lowest incomes? Because ultimately it's an issue of income adequacy, and those who have the most inadequate incomes are those on social welfare and those in low paid jobs.
So when you're listening to Piers Doherty here, and Piers, I'll let you in a moment to respond, are you saying that Piers is barking up the wrong tree when he's talking about excise duty cuts, further duty cuts?
Well, that's only going to support particular portion of the population, and ultimately those prices are going to go up. You have to look at excise duty as a blunt instrument. How do you support income adequacy? And that is either through social welfare rates for those on a fixed income or looking at tax credits for those in work, because then that money goes into the person's pocket and they can allow for their own budgeting for how they are going to spend their money, and it would support them from now until the end of the year, and you wouldn't find yourself in a situation where in a few months' time you're going to be making another announcement.
Piers?
Yeah, well, I was going to actually come on to that point before Colm interrupted me, because what I was going to say is we don't just need the reduction in excise duty, we need other measures, and that's why we have been calling for a mini budget, and I agree completely. We need an increase in terms of core social welfare rates. That needs to be targeted at those people who need it. We need to see the fuel allowance extended to offset some of the impacts in terms of home heating oil, but also the rise of coal. We need to see cost of living cash payments directed at those that are on low incomes and that are on middle income. They're the type of packages we need. We need to see support support for renters at this point in time, where we can cut rents and freeze rents. Okay. We've been making these points to government for quite a while.
I just want to hear from...
These issues are more important than ever because of the squeeze that people are seeing
I want to hear from Aoife Moore, because we haven't heard you yet. So we have the government on the one hand saying that they have done pretty much as they can do, although remains to be seen whether there's more that they can shake from the tree. Sinn Féin saying that, look, there, you can go much further and you can go much further now. Michelle saying that these just aren't targeted enough, the measures that have been taken thus far. Who's right? Can you translate it all for us?
I would like to point out that we were told a month ago that the government wasn't going to do anything else. When we got the heating rebate and the electricity rebate, they said, you know, that's us now to the budget. I didn't believe it then, and lo and behold, we're back now talking about excise duty. The thing I often come back to is that stuff like this, when it comes to tax and excise, is complicated. And all people really care about is the money in their pocket when they pull up at the forecourt, like how much petrol is going to cost them. This arguing back and forth doesn't really serve anybody. And I would often argue that even if the government don't want to listen to opposition politicians, they should be listening to NGOs who work at the coal face with people like Social Justice Ireland, who are saying this needs to be more targeted. Also, the rate of social welfare, this isn't an opposition thing only. You know, Minister for State Joe O'Brien called for an increase to the base rate last year, I remember doing a story. So there is a knowledge within government that the base rate of social welfare has to go up. Ireland's a really expensive place to live, and it's getting more and more expensive. And it's all well and good to say, you know, our unemployment levels are low, but most of those people, a lot of those people, are in low paid work, mm-hmm. and they're the people you're put to the pin of their collar. So I don't believe the government when they say that this is it now. You know, they're not going to do anything else. Politically, they're not going to be able to shoulder it.
Well, the first thing I want to go back to is the point I was making earlier on about what Piers Doherty did when he came on this programme. Because I don't know, maybe some people don't care, but I do think it's important that we actually, if we're having political discussions, are honest and truthful. There's no point misleading people. There's no point to try and score a political goal for your own side if you actually mislead people as to what the information is.
Yeah, you heard what Michelle said at the end of that discussion. You're arguing over what something is called. Michelle is talking about people who can't afford a packet of spaghetti.
No, sorry, I'm not arguing over what something's called. I'm arguing about what I believe is an opposition spokesperson misleading people.
He's made that position twice. And I let you respond.
Can I come back to the second point then?
He's going to respond to that now, because you have accused him of awful stuff now on two occasions.
Misleading.
Piers, go ahead.
Stand over.
Can I make this point? And I agree completely. People don't give a hoot what it's called. What they want is it reduced. Carbon tax is excise duty. That is what it is in the law. The revenue commissioners have confirmed that in a press statement. RTE can get that confirmed, and the officials in the Department of Finance have confirmed that to us as well. It could have been reduced. What you voted on in the Dáil on Wednesday night actually had a column with €84.84 in it. That column was the excise duty, or the mineral oil tax, on home heating oil. Now, I don't want this argument. They're trying to deflect this argument, because the reality is these prices have gone through the roof. People are looking at government to do something. Whether you call it carbon tax, mineral oil tax, or excise duty, it doesn't make a difference. The difference is that you can actually do something about it, and you're refusing to do it.
You asked me,
I don't know why you want to focus on this, but there's so much more that is affecting people on a day-to-day basis.
Because you asked me to respond to the second point.
Because you keep going back to it.
Targeted approaches in terms of, I said I'd respond to both of them. So on the 527 million that I talked about earlier on at the start, there are targeted approaches in that. There are elements of that, which is 125 in terms of the fuel allowance of a one-off payment. There are working family payments. There is a range of targeted allowances in that. But government has to be balanced. It has to do a range of things, including targeted allowance, which you are quite right to advocate for. And it also has to recognise that there is a need to do the broader stuff as well, which is
Michelle,
where reductions in
duty
come in.
But the bulk of the resources didn't go on the targeted allowance, and not everybody on the social welfare payment is entitled to the fuel allowance. Not everyone on low pay is entitled to the working family payment. Not everyone is entitled to the drug repayment scheme. Not everyone can access the reduction in public transport, especially if you live outside an urban centre. That's the reality. The problem is the bulk of that package that was announced in February went on a universal measure rather than targeted measures, because the people who've been most impacted, people on social welfare, for example, there wasn't an increase in core social welfare rates in 2 years before the budget in October. So they've been dealing with an increased cost of living in 2 years without an increase in their own incomes. That's the reality. That's why you need to look at the money that you have. There's always a limited pot of money, but what is the best way to spend that money? And the problem is that that money wasn't targeted where it was really, really needed.
Mm-hmm. Do you accept, Colm, that more will have to be done?
What I believe is that the government will always be responsive to what is needed. But I would make the point, I think the budget was a good budget. And I think the budget did do a lot of things very well that were needed. But we have had, obviously, a very changed situation since that budget in terms of a war in Ukraine, which has completely changed the inflation side of things. It's completely changed the economic side of things. We are now in a situation as a country, as part of our EU obligation, where we're imposing severe sanctions, which will have impact both on
Minister,
Russia, but will have
The minister himself has said that that budget didn't go far enough. I think he has said that given events since then. But also the government was advised before that budget to increase social welfare rates by 10 euro by the people who know what they're talking about. And it didn't do that.
Well,
and here we are.
The government gets multiple advice by different people to do different things in the budget. Mm-hmm. I never pick out one group and
Michelle,
say,
what do you want to say?
Sorry, can I just finish the point? I'd never pick out one group and say that they have an exclusive knowledge on what is right
Michelle.
And what is wrong.
And we would respond by saying it didn't go far enough. And the budget, the Parliamentary Budget Office, government's own research agency, produced a paper in December which showed that the real value of the job seeker social welfare rate, so 208 euros a week, is actually 193 euros a week. That's the reality, because social welfare rate is not linked to wages or inflation, and that is before the crisis in the Ukraine. So people on social welfare had been left behind for two budgets before. And if you do target resources on the lowest paid and people on social welfare rates, you improve their standard of living and you reduce the number of people living in poverty.
Let's move on to something else now, which is in the news this week. The Taoiseach suggesting that a citizens' assembly should be convened to discuss the future of Irish neutrality. Aoife, what do you make of this suggestion?
I think it's totally understandable to watch the horror unfolded in Ukraine and feel like we should be doing more. But I think any discussion about ending Irish neutrality is a knee-jerk reaction. I don't think it's some kind of moral failing for suggesting it, but I do not think it's a conversation we should be having. This notion that we would join NATO is completely alien to me. I think our neutrality is very important when it comes to conflicts. Neutrality is very important when it comes to dealing with refugees and accommodation. Ireland plays a huge role. I feel like at the minute, what we're seeing is Ireland doing what it does best. We are welcoming these people with open arms, and that's what we should be doing. That's what our concentration should be.
But outside of NATO, what about an EU defence strategy? I think President Macron is even talking about that again now, and we have this commitment from Joseph Borrell to spend another 500 million coming from the EU, sending military aid to Ukraine. So we're either in or we're not, right?
You know, the point was made to the Taoiseach. You know, we're talking about the aid and the funding that we give to Ukraine, and we said we don't give, you know, arms, but we're going to give fuel. And someone made the point, well, what's the point of paying for the fuel for the tank and not paying for the tank? What's the difference? And I don't know if it's maybe us, so we can morally say that we are still neutral. I think a lot of this is a knee-jerk reaction. Within government, there is not a huge appetite for this. Simon Coveney was out the other day speaking to the IAEA. He said he didn't envisage us joining NATO. He said there could be room for more cooperation, you know, with European partners when it comes to security. He said, you know, especially with things like cybersecurity, we cannot do it alone, is the way he said it. We're basically not cut out for it. So there could be more talk of further cooperation, stuff with security. But I think any notion of us abandoning each is pie in the sky. I don't think it's going to happen.
Really?
I don't think it would be a good idea. Well,
Piers Doherty, what do you think? Because we are in this very weird place as this war continues, where we're saying, well, we're not neutral on this issue. And as Aoife points out, we'll pay for the fuel, but we won't pay for the tank. Do you think it's time to discuss this?
But Claire, we've never been politically neutral on issues. We have an independent foreign policy, and rightly so. That's indeed why we were able to secure the UN Security Council seat, a unique position in terms of Europe. So, like, and we shouldn't be politically neutral, but it's a whole different conversation in relation to military neutrality. It's not just Sinn Féin. The Irish people value that we're neutral. We see that in terms of the polls, where three quarters of the people believe that neutrality should be maintained. And I've heard conversations, and we've had, look, Fine Gael had positions in the past in terms of beyond neutrality discussion documents and so on. And look, the war in Ukraine should not be used as a way, in my view, to and I would agree with Aoife in terms of this knee-jerk reaction in terms of setting up the Citizens' Assembly and starting to look beyond neutrality. People are talking about joining NATO, and we hear that from some of the politicians. Like, if you join NATO, you have to increase your military spending to 2% of GDP. That's 7 billion euro. Where are we going to go? I would love to hear from Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil.
Well, you can hear from me if
which taxes are they going to increase, or what are they going to cut to actually bring our spending to that level?
Aoife just wants to say something, and then
It's just a point that I want to make as well. I think as well, a lot of the commentary has been from the media about, you know, abandoned neutrality. I would also argue that we are not seeing any argument about paying the people and the defence forces more. You know, we know about the paying conditions and the defence forces. These are people who put their lives on the line. They can't strike, they can't have a union, so it's their wives and girlfriends and relatives that have to strike for them. I met a lot of them at protests a couple of years ago. We know, you know, the issues that there already is in the defence forces, and I don't see anybody advocating to make that life better for them when we're talking. And like, it's also people, if we're talking about abandoned neutrality, the people making arguments for it, I would argue, are not people who are going to join the defence forces, and whose children are not going to join the defence forces and going to end up in these places. And I do think a lot of it is knee-jerk, and I think it's a nice idea to want to do something more, but it's not where Ireland should be going. And as Pierre said, we spend 0.3% of our GDP on military at the minute. It would need to get up to 2% to get into NATO.
Seven billion.
A Citizens' Assembly on neutrality is not the priority at the minute, when we are already putting off citizens and
Minister, what do you say?
And everything else.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, just let's put the record straight on this. I listened to Micheál Martin in the chamber. I was sitting right beside him when he actually made the comment. He himself said a citizens' assembly, but not now, not in the immediate situation of Ukraine, but it's something that should be looked at in the thing, and I think it should be. I think that's absolutely right. I think, you know, sometimes you almost despair because You hear the type of moral superiority argument about neutrality and people opposed to it and whatever. They're all grand. Everyone's entitled to their view. But what is actually wrong with having a conversation about it? And the Citizen Assembly is a very good model for doing that. We've tackled hugely complex issues in our country using the Citizens' Assembly model, and it's worked very well. So rather
what's your
than,
own view on it? I mean, can you ever see Ireland joining NATO? Would you want to see that?
No, me personally, no. I would not like to see Ireland joining NATO. Would I like to see us redefine and be much clearer about what we mean by neutrality? Yes. I don't think there's any particular scope or need or want for us to join NATO. I wouldn't agree with the type of military expenditures that are involved in that. I would be
the 7
far
billion.
More. Yeah, I'd be far more.
We'd need another hour to talk about
sure,
where you're going to find that.
Sure, listen, you know, I mean, it would be crazy. Now, I mean, other parties promise 7 billion in the course of a radio programme, but we don't as a party, and we're not going to go there. So, but the thing is, I think the important part of this is that because of our EU membership, because of what has happened in the last year, and because of where we're going in this century, I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with us having a Citizens' Assembly to discuss neutrality.
Michelle, you view?
Well, I mean, I think there's far bigger pressing issues, and I'd like to know, you know, where this push is coming from, because I don't think it's coming from, you know, most people. People want to be able to afford a home. They want to be able to have a childcare place for their child. You know, they want to be able to access a GP. If you're an older person, you want to be able to get home help hours if you need them. Those are the things that are, you know, concentrating people's mind. Mm. And in terms
of... seen through the number of people who've pledged support and accommodation for people who are fleeing Ukraine, that people are very engaged in this issue and are, we've got to assume from that, very engaged in protecting people who are under attack.
But and that's what we do really well. And as the Minister would say,
I heard, unfortunately, and I know you wouldn't maybe want to do this, I heard politicians with very different views to yours using exactly those lines as to why we shouldn't have a citizens' assembly on social issues because we have to concentrate on something else, they would say. We can do both. A citizens' assembly does not even take from government's time. It's a civic forum which allows discussion.
Absolutely.
And there's no reason at all why we can't broaden
it. But it's a matter of priorities. Social issues, you would need something like a real social dialogue process. When it comes to raising the amount of money you need to address healthcare, housing, childcare, if you were to look at, you know, the cost of changing your status in terms of neutrality, that's a significant amount of money. Where exactly is it going to come from? And will government then implement all of the recommendations of that citizens' assembly? You know, that's another question.
Okay, I think we're just about at the end. Thank you all very much indeed to Aoife Moore, Michelle Murphy, Colin Brophy and Piers Doherty. That's all we have time for today. Just enough time to bring you the latest headlines. The number of people who fled Ukraine is now estimated to be more than 2.5 million. A further 1.8 million have been displaced within the country. As Russian air and ground attacks on Ukrainian cities continue, it's reported that a psychiatric hospital in the Kharkiv region has been bombed, and the Secretary General of the Irish Red Cross has told this programme that close to €15 million has been donated by the Irish public to help people in Ukraine. And that's it from us for the week. Today's programme was produced by Niamh Lyons. The series producer is Alistair McConnell. Research by Amy Ryan. Our broadcast coordinator is Louise Kerr-Ross. Harry Buckless was on sound. Have a great weekend. It's over to Ronan Collins.
Thank you, Claire, and have a good weekend yourself. Stand by for that Friday feeling, musically speaking, between now and 1 o'clock here on Radio 1. But right now, we'll pause for the Angelus.